Hare Krishna.
The past 2 days we participated in the Ratha Yatra. The same festival that has been enacted here in Jagannath Puri since time immemorial. This being a holy dham, the Lord's pastimes are eternally being enacted. And according to our humility, submissiveness before the mercy of the Lord, we can actually experience the Lord's pastimes here. The deities of Baladev, Subhadra and Jagannath have performed such sublime and wondrous pastimes over the millenniums. In fact, there are volumes of books written on this subject. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it is our greatest spirit of devotion to recollect how Lord Jagannath reciprocated divine love with our own worshipable object of devotion, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya came to Puri on the request of his mother and the Vaishnavas from Shantipur. He was on his way to Vrindavan after taking sannyas. But the devotees requested that the same Krishna that performs his lila in Vrindavan is living in Purushottam Kshetra as Lord Jagannath. In this way, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming here, personally revealed to the world that Jagannath Puri is none different than Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Shyam Sundar are the crest jewel of all realizations of the Absolute Truth. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Swarup Damodar Goswami prayed that the one Absolute Truth has divided into two forms of Radha and Krishna. They are engaged in loving amorous pastimes eternally. Now those two personalities have become one in the form of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The most intimate loving pastimes of Vrindavan were especially enacted within the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while living here in Jagannath Puri. And he manifested those pastimes in such a way that even the ordinary people of this age of Kali will be uplifted and ultimately attain the ultimate perfection of elevation to the spiritual world of Vrindavan. Here in Jagannath Puri, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would each day chant and dance through the streets as we have been doing the last few days. For 4 months every year, his most beloved associates of Bengal would come. They would dance, chant, and take prasad together, celebrating every type of festival. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes briefly how the Lord and his devotees celebrated each of the festivals of the Vaishnava calendar with great, great enthusiasm and devotion. Lord Chaitanya lived in Jagannath Puri for 24 years. The first 6 years, sometimes he was traveling. For approximately 2 years, he traveled through South India, then came back to live in Puri for some time. Then he went to Vrindavan, even to Kurukshetra, and other holy places. For 18 years, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not leave Jagannath Puri. And for 12 of those 18 years, he was constantly immersed in the highest ecstasies of love of God and revealing them to the world. Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have explained to us that the Leela of Radha and Krishna is very confidential. Actually, it can only be properly understood by those whose hearts are completely pure. However, that same Radha and Krishna have appeared in the role of Neelachala Chandra, Lord Chaitanya, crest jewel of all sannyasis, living by the strictest principles of renunciation in his life, and yet exhibiting the amorous conjugal pastimes of Vrindavan, of Shri Radha and Krishna. Very inconceivable. Through Harinam Sankirtan, through Harikatha, Vaishnav Seva, and preaching the message of pure devotional service, Lord Chaitanya practically taught everyone how to achieve the highest realizations of Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the safest and most practical way for anyone and everyone in this age of Kali. And it is for this reason that Srila Rupa Goswami, who had descended from Goloka, offered this prayer. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradaya Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namo. Lord Gauranga is most munificent of all incarnations because his mercy is to give the highest rasas of spiritual love to everyone and anyone without discrimination. Simply, we have to learn how to properly chant the holy names. Trinadapi sunichena, tadorapi sunishna, amaniya manadena kirtanena sitara. This verse from Shikshastakam, Kaviraj Goswami wrote, should be strung on the thread of the holy name and worn by devotees at all times. According to how we live by this verse and chant Krishna's name, that is to what extent we will actually understand with realization the spiritual world, what is real bhakti. It was here in Jagannath Puri that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally recite these 8 verses called Shikshastakam and give his own commentaries to these verses to his devotees. The holy name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. All the power of Krishna is in his name. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was especially selected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Maha Mantra, the Yuga Dharma. By learning the proper, can we make that sound go away? Practically, if we chant without offense in a spirit of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, gradually the pastimes of Vrindavan are revealed through the holy name. And it is on the basis of this faith that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada manifested the Hare Krishna movement all over the world. In 1977, Srila Prabhupada brought the devotees to Jagannath Puri. It was his desire that there be a large center here, so that his devotees from all over the world would come. At the Tirtharaj, the sea, in which Ganga Jamuna come flowing from the Himalayan mountains through the plains of India, and so many great sages, rishis and Vaishnavas bathe in those waters, and the water ultimately empties into the sea. And that same water comes to Purushottam Kshetra. And when it touches this holy land of Lord Jagannath, it becomes king of holy places. As was described yesterday, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day would bathe in that sea. And after bathing, Haridas Thakur declared that it was a holy tirtha, and anyone who takes bath in the sea would be delivered and get pure bhakti. When Srila Prabhupada was here, he entered into the sea. His devotees gathered around him in a circle and personally offered him an abhishekam by taking their hands together, lifting up the water and pouring it over Srila Prabhupada's body. Every limb of his body was being bathed by various disciples. Now, from the thoroughly material point of view, the water comes and goes, it evaporates. But actually, in the spiritual sense, when a great personality takes his bath somewhere, the divine emotion of that person's heart is permanently placed in that holy abode. So factually, even a million years from now, anyone who bathes in the sea will get the Charanamrit of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every single one of his associates left their Charanamrita in that sea every day. Srila Prabhupada also had wonderful kirtan with his devotees at the Purushottamath at Chatak Parvat. He gave a very powerful lecture here in Jagannath Puri, as the Acharya was promoting pure unalloyed devotional service beyond all sect, sectarian, materialistic conceptions. And it is by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy that all of us are here today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jagannath Puri, although it is situated on the shore of the ocean, is an unlimited ocean in and of itself of various holy places. It is the birthplace of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. On the grand road, you will see a beautiful Gaudiya Math. That was the home of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur when he was a magistrate under the British government here in Puri. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born and given the name Bimala Prasad here in Puri Dham. When he was only a few months old, the Jagannath Rath Yatra cart came by his house and stopped there for several days, didn't move. So the wife of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhagavati Devi Mataji, she brought her infant child to the cart of Jagannath, and as she offered her child to the lotus feet of the Lord, the Lord's garland fell and encircled the body of the infant child as the child reached out to take the dust from his lotus feet. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he heard this, understood that his deepest prayer had been fulfilled by Lord Jagannath. A prayer that a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya from the spiritual world, a very ray of Vishnu, would appear as his son to promote Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure teachings throughout the world. Sometimes when Srila Prabhupada would talk about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would say, "What can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man." And for the last months of his earthly leela, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur chose to live in Jagannath Puri at the Chatak Parvat Purushottam Gaudiya Math. And just hardly a month or so before leaving this world, he left in Calcutta at the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. From Puri, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. In that letter, he repeated the same instruction that he gave him when they first met at the Ultadonga Junction Road, Gaudiya Math, years before. That you are intelligent, young man. You should bring the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language to the whole world. This will be for your benefit and the benefit of all others. When Srila Prabhupada received that message from Jagannath Puri, he considered it the confirmation of his life's mission. Those words that were written here in Jagannath Puri were meditated upon by Srila Prabhupada throughout his life. That letter fructified in millions of people all over the world, including ourselves, coming to the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. I will briefly explain some of the holy places here in Jagannath Puri that are very prominent. And after this class, you'll have about half of the day on your own or in groups to visit these places. There is Siddha Bakula. That is the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. When Lord Chaitanya returned from South India, the devotees of Navadvip all came with the help of Shivananda Sen to Puri Dham. They met the Lord at the bridge called Atharanala. It is an ancient bridge that has 18 arches. It is considered the formal entrance into Jagannath Puri. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya, when the devotees would come, would meet them all at the Atharanala bridge. He would personally offer them garlands, sandalwood, and embrace them. Such ecstatic, loving exchanges were there. The devotees, they would be unceasingly weeping. Here is their worshipable Lord personally serving each and every one of them with such affection. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that Lord Chaitanya, through this process, wanted to teach the world the topmost religious principle: to serve the Lord's devotees. Vaishnav Seva, developing a taste for chanting the holy names and preaching this message to others, is the very foundation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally exhibited in his own life, when he was in South India traveling, day and night he was just giving Krishna consciousness to everyone and anyone by inducing them to dance in ecstasy and chant the holy name. When he returned to Puri, how eager he was to serve and please the devotees. In one sense, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the role of a devotee, teaching us that service to Vaishnavas is the essence of all the scriptures. But also, to understand him as the Supreme Lord, we understand that the Lord is a prisoner in the hearts of those who love him. He's willing to do anything and everything for his devotees. In Navadvip, sometimes he would wash their clothes, dry them, fold them, bring them home for the devotees, give them a seat, bring them their tilak. In every way, he wanted to serve the devotees. When the Vaishnavas arrived from Bengal, Mahaprabhu was right there to greet them, to embrace them. Then they would all go to a place called Narendra Sarovar. It is a very holy lake. Generally, when the Vaishnavas would come, their first stop would be there to take their sacred bath. Also, during the Chandan Yatra, the Vijay Murtis of Lord Jagannath, named Radha Govinda, they are brought to Narendra Sarovar and placed on a boat where they sail through the sacred waters of that place. And Lord Chaitanya and his devotees would enjoy this festival every year. The servants of Jagannath would be playing all sorts of melodious musical instruments. The whole sarovar was decorated in such a festive manner, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees in ecstasy. They would see Radha and Krishna sailing on their boat. They would get in the water with them, chanting the holy names in great bliss. Actually, the Lord wanted to teach us that our happiness should be in seeing Krishna happy. When Krishna and Sri Radharani are playing with their devotees, sailing on a boat, what a wonderful experience. The devotees' hearts melt. They are willing to undergo any pain, any suffering, any misery, and find bliss if Krishna is happy. That is bhakti. Gopis were willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity to relieve Krishna for even a moment from a headache. That is bhakti. Selfless service. From Narendra Sarovar, they would see the beautiful deities of Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath in his temple. Then they would go to Gambira, the residence of Lord Chaitanya. As Lord Chaitanya was meeting each and every devotee very personally and praising the glories of each devotee as if he had five mouths, he asked, "Where is Haridas?" Someone told him, "Haridas is laying, offering his obeisances in the dust some distance down the road. He feels himself too fallen and lowly to come." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not disturb his sentiment. But after greeting each devotee, praising them, and personally arranging the residential quarters, servants, and prasad for every devotee, he went out to the roadside to meet Haridas Thakur. Haridas was saying, "I'm a dog, I'm filthy, don't touch me. I shouldn't even be seen, I'm an outcast." Lord Chaitanya understood that the general rule of the temple of Jagannath is that people who are not devotees, people who are of a lower birth, are not to be admitted. Although Advaitacharya gave the first Shraddha to Haridas, considering him to be the topmost of all Brahmins, because Haridas was born in a family of Malechas, Haridas considered that aspect. In fact, he told Lord Chaitanya the day before he left this world that, "I don't know why you have done this to me. Although I'm a Malecha, though I'm untouchable, still Advaitacharya gave me the Shraddha before the Brahmins." But actually, I'm lower than an insignificant insect. This is renunciation. When somebody actually is very great, but considers himself very small, that is renunciation. Perhaps the most difficult thing to do in this world. In this world, we all are competing with Krishna. We want to be the enjoyer. We want to be glorified. We want to be appreciated. And when we get it, it infatuates our consciousness. But Haridas Thakur, even Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they never ever even attempted to go into Jagannath's temple. Because they honored, if they say we're Malechas, we shouldn't go in, they are correct. We are Malechas. We are not worthy of going in. But when the Lord came out for Rath Yatra, after such long separation, how these great personalities danced in ecstasy before Jagannath, chanting the holy name. Understanding the sentiment of Haridas, Lord Chaitanya personally arranged a residence for him, just in a garden close to Jagannath's temple, where Haridas Thakur could see the chakra on top of the temple, which is non-different from the deity in the temple, and there chant the holy names. One day, it is explained, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Haridas chanting his 300,000 names. That's minimum 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In the sun, he brought one of the toothbrush sticks of Jagannath's Mahaprasad and pushed it in the ground. And from that stick, a miraculous divine Bakula tree immediately grew to give shade to Haridas Thakur. Another exhibition of the Lord's love for his devotees. Every single day, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stand behind the Garuda Stamba in Jagannath's temple for several hours having darshan and kirtan, from the temple, as a regulative principle, he would go directly to Sri Thakur Haridas's bhajan kutir at Siddha Bakula. There he would spend hours talking with Haridas Thakur about Krishna, personally bringing Jagannath's Mahaprasad and delivering it with his own hands. Srila Prabhupada explains it this way. Because Haridas Thakur was so humble, he would not go into the Lord's temple. The Lord would personally come out of his temple to see his devotee and give him his prasad. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami came to Puri on separate occasions, they lived with Haridas Thakur at Siddha Bakula. It was there that the Lord, with his most intimate associates, heard the glorious writings being spoken by Rupa Goswami. It was there that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally established Rupa Goswami as the Acharya of our Sampradaya and sent him to Vrindavan. It was there at Siddha Bakula that Haridas Thakur prayed to Lord Chaitanya, "I have one desire. I know that soon you will bring a close to your earthly pastimes. I do not want to see this last chapter of your lila. Let this body fall down dead, seeing your beautiful moon-like face, with your feet over my heart, chanting the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya." Lord Chaitanya asked that, "You are my most dear associate. This whole world will be a dreary void in your absence." Haridas said, "Why are you creating this illusion? If there's one less insect in this world, what is the loss? Please fulfill my desire." The next day, Lord Chaitanya brought his devotees. Swarup Damodara Goswami began to chant. Bhakreshwar Pandit and others were dancing. Mahaprabhu placed his feet on Haridas's heart. Haridas, with unblinking eyes, stared at his beautiful face, his lips repeating, "Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya," and in this spirit he gave up his life. Mahaprabhu, out of love for his devotee, lifted that body and danced in ecstasy, weeping incessant tears from his lotus-like eyes. After long dance, not willing to let go of the body of his devotee, Swarup Damodar Goswami informed the Lord that the funeral rites must be performed. So from Siddha Bakula, where this Leela had taken place, the Lord had a procession with Haridasa's body on a palanquin that looked like an airship. Mahaprabhu himself led the procession, dancing in ecstasy, weeping in separation from his devotee, to the sea. There they bathed the deity, and Mahaprabhu, with his own lotus hands, began to dig the sand to create a samadhi for his devotee. After the hole was dug, Lord Chaitanya personally with his associates lowered the body of Haridas Thakur. Then Lord Chaitanya with his own loving hands placed the sand on Haridas Thakur. Then the Lord had erected a small memorial, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu circumambulated three times the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur. We went there yesterday. It is a wonderful place to pray for the mercy of the Namacharya. In that temple, there are special deities of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita. All three of them are chanting japa in their murti forms. After the ceremony, Lord Chaitanya came back to the town of Puri, personally begged alms for a feast for Haridas Thakur. This is the Supreme Absolute Truth, whom Mahavishnu is only a partial expansion and expansion and expansion and expansion of. But he's going through the streets, going to ordinary shopkeepers, begging from them, just so that he could honor and glorify his devotee, who never stopped chanting with love the holy names of Krishna. Across the street from Haridas Thakur's samadhi is the Bhakti Kuti, a bhajan kutir in which Srila Thakur Bhakti Vinod immersed himself in the transcendental loving pastimes of Vrindavan. After Bhakti Vinod Thakur retired from his family life and occupation, he entered into the Paramhamsa state and came to Jagannath Puri to do his bhajan. And by Bhakti Vinod Thakur's mercy, that same bhajan kutir was given to Srila Prabhupada's devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is a very important place for us to visit. Yesterday, His Grace Madhavananda Prabhu took us along that very, very special road where the Lord personally arranged residences for his various devotees. What is the name of the road? Sad Asan Road, where Indrajumna Maharaj saw the seven great rishis performing their bhajan long ago in the Satya Yuga. On the corner is the residence of Swarup Damodar Goswami. and also it is said that his samadhi may be there, but it's very difficult to get in to see. Swarup Damodar Goswami was a resident of Navadvip. His name was Purushottam Acharya, one of the very, very intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was 24 years old, he took sannyas, and Purushottam Acharya became ecstatically mad in separation. And he went to Varanasi and accepted the sannyas ashram from one Chaitanyananda Bharati, same sampradaya as Lord Chaitanya. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from South India and came to Puri, Purushottam Acharya, who is now of the name Swarup, because Swarup is the name of a servant of Bharati, he surrendered his life at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya once again. Lord Chaitanya lifted up Swarup Damodar. They both embraced. They wept. They fell unconscious simultaneously. Lord Chaitanya said, "I saw a dream last night in which you were coming to Puri to live with me." It is described by our acharyas that Swarup Damodar Goswami was non-different than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He perfectly understood the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Throughout Lord Chaitanya's lila here in Puri, Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing beautiful songs and recite verses exactly according to the particular spiritual emotion of love that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya added the name Damodar to Swarup because he was such a beautiful singer. He sang with such devotion, and his voice was sweeter than that of the Gandharvas. Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai were the two constant associations of Lord Chaitanya. In the spiritual world of Goloka, Swarup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi and Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Sakhi. And Lord Chaitanya, in the Gambira, in the sweet mood of Sri Radharani, was very deeply aggrieved in separation from Krishna. Just like Kaviraj Goswami explains, when Uddhava came to Vrindavan and saw the separation of Sri Radharani after Krishna left for Mathura, he considered, "This is the ultimate expression of devotion. Let me become a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that these gopis may step on my head with their feet." It was that spirit of love and separation that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested in the association of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. And just across the street from that is the Bhajan Kutir of Jagadananda Pandit. It's so wonderful because Lord Chaitanya personally arranged these places for his devotees. He knew exactly what each devotee would be most pleased with. Jagadananda Pandit had a very deep rasa of love with Lord Chaitanya. Jagadananda Pandit had a very deep rasa of love with Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to see Lord Chaitanya enjoying the opulences of this world. But Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi. And in order to show the people in general, he lived a very simple and renounced life. During the kirtans in Srivas Thakur's house in Navadvip, Jagadananda Pandit was one of the main devotees chanting and dancing with the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya went to take sannyas, and then after sannyas came to Puri, Jagadananda Pandit followed him. Many, many stories in this regard. One time, Jagadananda Pandit requested Shivananda Sen to give him a large pot of extremely costly sandalwood oil. With great trouble, it was brought from Bengal to Puri. Jagadananda Pandit gave that pot to Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's servant, and said, when the Lord is going to take rest, you should massage him with this oil. So Govinda came and was about to massage the Lord with the oil, but the Lord smelled the fragrance. He said, what are you doing? I'm a sannyasi. I cannot be massaged with such fragrant oils. What will the people in general think when I walk by and they smell me like this? They'll think I'm just a sense enjoyer. But Jagadananda Pandit brought this oil all the way from Navadvip. He wants you to accept it. When Lord Chaitanya heard Jagadananda Pandit brought it, he became fearful in his heart. But at the same time, he had to maintain his standards. He said, the best utilization of this oil will be, bring it to the temple of Jagannath and let the pujaris use it in the oil lamps and for the massaging of Jagannath's body. So the oil was given back to Jagadananda with this message. Jagadananda Pandit was nowhere to be seen. So Lord Chaitanya went to visit him at that house where you can go today. He said, oh, this oil, you should offer it to Lord Jagannath. It will be a very nice offering. Jagadananda Pandit said, what oil? I have no oil. There was never any oil. Then he went into his house, picked up the pot, crashed it against the ground. All the oil went in the earth. Then he personally, without saying anything else, he went in the house, he closed the door, he locked it, he laid down to fast till death. This is his love. For several days he was fasting. He wouldn't even get up to take a bath. Lord Chaitanya understood. So one day in the morning he came to Jagadananda's door, which was still locked. He said, Jagadananda Panditji, today at noon I'm coming to your house for prasad, so you should prepare something for me. Jagadananda Pandit was ecstatic, an opportunity to serve the Lord. He immediately got out of his bed, took his bath, prepared incredible preparations. Lord Chaitanya came after bathing in the sea. Jagadananda Pandit was feeding him more and more and more. And Lord Chaitanya was eating much more than he practically would ever eat. He was afraid to stop thinking that Jagadananda Pandit would continue to fast. Every time half a bowl was empty, Jagadananda Pandit would fill it. It would be half empty, fill it, half empty, fill it. Finally, Lord Chaitanya said, I've already eaten 10 times more than I ever eat. When he saw Jagadananda Pandit was actually satisfied, he said, now you eat. I want to see you eat. I know you've been fasting for days. Eat this Mahaprasad, my remnants, eat it. Jagadananda Pandit said, no, first I must serve the servants and the others, then I will take. Now you go back to Gambira and you take rest. He gave him garland, he gave him sandalwood pulp, he gave him some spices for chewing. He said, I cannot take until you're resting and everybody else in the household has been served. So Lord Chaitanya went back to Gambira, but he couldn't sleep. He told Govinda, go back and tell me whether Jagadananda has eaten prasad. So he went back, came back later. What is the report? Govinda said, well, he served me and he served everyone else, but he hasn't eaten yet. Go back. Don't come back until he eats. So then he came back and said, Jagadananda Pandit has just had your Mahaprasad. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. He took rest. Another time, during the later part of Lord Chaitanya's Leela in Puri, he was so much immersed in the unlimited depths of the ocean of separation from Lord Krishna that he would hardly eat. He never slept. He became emaciated. And he would sleep on the floor, hard floor. And because of this, bruises were appearing on his body, which was causing terrible pain to the hearts of the devotees. So Jagadananda Pandit bought a very nice silken type of bed for Lord Chaitanya to sleep on. He gave it to Govinda. The next night, Lord Chaitanya went to take rest and he saw this nice bed on the floor. He said, get this bed out of here. Sannyasis don't sleep on nice beds like this. Where did this bed come from? Govinda said, it was given by Jagadananda Pandit. Mahaprabhu's heart was terrified by these words. But yet, he had to teach the world. So they moved the bed aside and he slept again on some little cloth on the floor. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he was very expert. What he did is he took the same cloth that Lord Chaitanya would sleep on and he filled it with very, very fine fibers from the mat that Lord Chaitanya would sit on and sleep on. So it was the same things, but he made it into something that was a little bit soft. He filled the cloth with the fibers. And he somehow convinced Lord Chaitanya to accept that, which the Lord did, for the pleasure of his devotees. When the news came to Jagadananda Pandit that Mahaprabhu did not accept his offering, he was still sleeping on something that wasn't, according to his standards, appropriate. He came to Lord and said, that I think I should go to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya said, no, you should not go to Vrindavan because you're angry at me. If you go to Vrindavan in a mood of anger, you will make offenses. That is not good. Jagadananda Pandit said, but I really want to go to Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya told Jagadananda Pandit, you can go to Vrindavan, but do not be alone there. You should stay at all times with Srila Sanatana Goswami. Srila Prabhupada explains the reason this instruction was given. That offenses committed in New Vrindavan, in Vrindavan, can create havoc in one's life. And the people of Vrindavan, the Vrijabasis, have a very natural, spontaneous way of loving and serving Krishna. An ordinary devotee cannot understand that. It is practically inevitable that with our mind, our words, and our bodies, we will commit offenses to the devotees there. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, you should not stay in Vrindavan for a long duration of time, and you should always be with an advanced devotee, Sanatana Goswami. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained to his followers that the most important principle of going to a holy dham is to associate with holy people. We could visit the places, we could see so many things, but how much do we really appreciate it? How much realization is there? But when we associate with true devotees, who through their life and words reveal the Dham to us, then we can actually experience what is the mercy of the Lord's abode. To see the sadhu, to hear from the sadhu, is the most important factor of going to a holy place. So Jagadananda Pandit, taking these words very seriously, went to Vrindavan. At that time, Sanatana Goswami was living at Mahavan, in a cave underground. Many of you may have seen that. So Jagadananda Pandit, although he was in Vrindavan with Sanatana Goswami, being taken on the parikrama tour of all the holy places, still he was constantly immersed in deep moods of separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Sanatana Goswami, he would do madhukari. And one day, Jagadananda Pandit decided to cook for him. So he cooked nice prasad for Sanatana Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami arrived, Jagadananda Pandit was especially pleased because Sanatana Goswami was wearing a saffron turban, which was obviously the cloth prasad of Lord Chaitanya. So wanting to hear the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the mouth of Sanatana Goswami, he asked him, "Who gave you that cloth?" Sanatana Goswami replied, "Chaitanya Nanda Saraswati." No, Mukundananda Saraswati. Mukundananda Saraswati. As soon as he heard the name of another sannyasi other than Lord Chaitanya, Jagadananda Pandit became wild with anger. He picked up a cooking pot and attacked Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was in ecstasy. He took off the turban and he said, "I am very pleased to see the chastity, the faithfulness of your love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Jagadananda Pandit became very embarrassed when Sanatana Goswami said that. Then he returned to Jagannath Puri with the blessings of Sanatana Goswami and lived in that very place as a constant associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. and there you will find his own personal worshipable deities of Radha Gididhari. Next door to that is the residence of Brahmananda Bharati. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is one of the 9 sannyasis who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally honored and worshipped on the same level as his guru. After the Lord returned from the South Indian tour, so many devotees were coming. After Swarup Damodar Goswami met the Lord, the next person to come was Brahmananda Bharati. Mukunda Dutt was so enlivened to see this great personality. He said to Lord Chaitanya, "Here is Brahmananda Bharati, he has come to see you." Lord Chaitanya looked at him and then looked away. He said, "This is not Brahmananda Bharati. Brahmananda Bharati would never wear a deer skin." He wouldn't even look at him. Brahmananda Bharati, hearing those words, was thinking, "The Lord is very merciful to me. He knows the reason I'm wearing this deer skin. Simply to show the world how renounced and detached I am, I'm wearing this deer skin. The Lord cannot tolerate my false pride." Therefore, he immediately cast away that deer skin forever and put on the traditional ordinary saffron cloth of a sannyasi. Then he came again before Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya bowed down to him and worshipped him like his guru. Brahmananda Bharati, he said to Lord Chaitanya, that now that I have come to Jagannath Puri, I see that there are simultaneously 2 Brahmins that are living here. One is the stationary wooden Brahmin in the form of Jagannath in his temple, and the other is the moving Brahmin in the form of you, my Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not tolerate anyone calling him God. So he presented an argument that the living entity is always part and parcel of Krishna. At that time, during this loving debate, Brahmananda Bharati turned to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and said, "You are a great scholar. You know the Siddhanta. Therefore, you tell us who won this debate." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied that that Brahmananda Bharati has won the debate. That he has revealed to the world that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, no. He said, "This is not possible. Brahmananda Bharati is my spiritual master. I see him in the same light as my guru. Therefore, I am his servant." Hare Krishna. So Brahmananda Bharati replied, "This is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He always takes the subordinate position of the servant of the love of his devotee." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Again, Brahmananda Bharati is victorious." So after being defeated by his devotee, Lord Chaitanya arranged for him to stay in that particular temple where he worshipped the deities of Radha Shyam Sundar. Little ways down the road is the deities of Kunja Bhagavan. Name of deities are?
Krishna Balaram.
And also it is said that Chota Haridas resided there and worshipped those deities. From Chota Haridas, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to the world that he could not tolerate hypocrisy in the life of his devotees. Although Chota Haridas was an intimate, loving servant of Lord Chaitanya, still Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely strict with him. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that we must very carefully understand the principles of this particular lesson that the Lord taught. Not far from Jagannath's temple is the residence that Lord Chaitanya gave to Paramananda Puri. When the Lord was traveling through South India on the Rishabh Hill, he met with Paramananda Puri, who was also on pilgrimage. He is from a place called Trihut. Paramananda Puri was, according to Srila Prabhupada, one of the two most confidential sannyas disciples of Madhavendra Puri. There was Ishwara Puri and Paramananda Puri. He was so very, very dear to his spiritual master. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Paramananda Puri, he personally spoke that I see that my own beloved Guru Maharaj, Ishwara Puri's blessings is coming through you. In fact, when I see you, I see that Madhavendra Puri is personally coming to give me his blessings. Lord Chaitanya worshipped and honored Paramananda Puri. One day, actually there, he, after embracing Paramananda Puri in great love, he begged Paramananda Puri, please come to Puri and live with me. So Paramananda Puri, after visiting the holy places, went to Navadvip, where he was staying with Sachi Mata and Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. When Kal Krishnadas returned from South India, he was sent by the devotees to Navadvip, Shantipur, and all of these places to tell the devotees that Lord Chaitanya arrived. Shivananda Sen, Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, they were all arranging for a yatra of hundreds of devotees to come to Puri to see the Lord. But as the arrangements were being made, Paramananda Puri could not wait an extra second. He immediately left for Puri. And when he arrived, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so very pleased. In Krishna's Leela, Paramananda Puri is Uddhava, Krishna's innermost dear friend of Dwarka. So dear that Krishna revealed to Uddhava the supreme love of Sri Radharani and Gopis by sending him to Vrindavan. One day, actually, Lord Chaitanya personally arranged this residential quarters for Paramananda and also arranged servant, someone to bring water, someone to arrange prasad. Every detail of the needs and wants of Paramananda Puri, Lord Chaitanya personally saw to it. This is Vaishnav etiquette. Recently I heard from someone who is an immensely learned person, much shastra, very nice lectures. He said that Vaishnav etiquette is simply sentimentalism. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a different opinion. Lord Chaitanya said that Vaishnav etiquette is the ornament that makes a devotee beautiful in the eyes of Krishna. Who are we trying to please? without proper etiquette toward the Vaishnavas. No matter how learned, no matter how austere, no matter how popular you become in the eyes of the world, Krishna will not really be pleased. And what really is Vaishnava etiquette? It's not just the formalities, not to touch someone with your foot, not to step over their body. These are principles, but the spirit behind all these principles is to actually be conscious that this person, because he or she is surrendering to Krishna, they're dear to the Lord. Therefore, they're worshipable. Vaishnava etiquette means to please the Vaishnavas in a spirit of servant of the servant of the servant. Lord Chaitanya followed this principle. Paramananda Puri was the godbrother of his guru. He treated him with the same love and respect as he treated his own guru. And he served him in the same way. That is Vaishnava etiquette. One day Lord Chaitanya came to Paramananda Puri's house. He said, "I would like to drink water from your well. Is the water nice in your well?" Paramananda Puri said, "It is bitter, muddy water. It's horrible. No one can drink it." Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised both of his arms in the air and called out loudly, "Jagannath, Jagannath, you are a miser. You know that anyone who drinks the water from Paramananda Puri's well will get pure devotional service, never to take birth in this material world again. Therefore, you sent Maya to make his water so bitter and so muddy that no one will drink it. Lord Jagannath, I pray at your lotus feet, may the holy river Ganges flow into the well of Paramananda Puri." Then the Lord went back to Gambira to take rest that night. Taking the words of Lord Chaitanya on her head, Ganga Mai filled the well of Paramananda Puri. When the devotees woke up, they saw that water was fragrant and crystal clear. Paramananda Puri, when he saw it, he fell to the ground unconscious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the news, quickly came from Gambira. When he saw this water, he drank it, he bathed in it, he distributed it to the devotees, and he proclaimed for all the world, for all time to come, because this is the water from the great saintly Vaishnava Paramananda Puri's well. Anyone who drinks this water, anyone who bathes in this water, will get pure, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna and never take birth into this material world again. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. In this regard, Vrindavan Das Thakur explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed how much he loves to glorify those devotees who have given their life and soul to his loving service. Not far from Paramananda Puri's well is the house of Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya. We know when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first entered into the vicinity of Puri, near Kamalapur, he saw the chakra on top of the temple of Jagannath. He immediately offered his prostrated obeisances. It is explained that Lord Chaitanya had to walk approximately 6 miles from the place where he saw the chakra. But in his anticipation, he was so eager to see Lord Jagannath that every step seemed like thousands and thousands and thousands of miles he had to cross. When ultimately he came into Jagannath's temple, he ran to embrace Lord Jagannath, completely enraptured by love. He fell to the ground unconscious. The guards of Jagannath temple picked up sticks and were ready to beat him. Some of you may have had this experience. But at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he happened to be there at the time. He's the guru of the king. He stopped the guards, said, "Bring him to my house." There he, in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, where you can all go today, Lord Chaitanya's body, in the ecstasy of Radha Bhav, was laying on the ground. A great scholar of scriptures, he tested by so many means to see what is the condition of this young sannyasi. He came to the conclusion he's experiencing ecstatic emotion of love of God. He tried all the different formulas to bring him back to consciousness, but nothing worked. But when Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, Mukunda Dutt, when they arrived in Puri, Gopinathacharya told them exactly where Lord Chaitanya was. They gathered around his body to loudly chant the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Swamiji, do not go into Jagannath temple alone. You're too ecstatic. You should go with someone else. And better you stand back near Garuda Stambha. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in that house, began to inquire from Gopinathacharya, his brother-in-law. Such a young sannyasi, he's only 24 years old. What sampradaya did he take sannyas? From Bharati sampradaya. The Bhattacharya replied, "This is a low-class sampradaya. I, by my scholarship and influence, I can elevate him to the Saraswat sannyas sampradaya." Gopinathacharya was very angry. "What nonsense you're speaking. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't need your sampradayas." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "What nonsense you're speaking. According to Shastra, the Lord is Tri Yuga. He doesn't appear in Kali Yuga." Gopinathacharya presented all nice Shastric evidence to prove that he was the Lord. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he presented so much Shastric evidence to refute it. Ultimately, Gopinathacharya became extremely upset. And he said, "Your heart is like a dry, useless oil cake. Simply hard. Therefore, you cannot understand the Lord even when he's right in your own home, because you have not received even a single particle of a drop of the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, you cannot recognize him." Sarvabhauma said, "We're friends, just having a discussion. Don't get so upset." So then Gopinathacharya complained to the Lord what Sarvabhauma was saying. The Lord said, no, he's like my father. He cares about me. You should honor him." Lord Chaitanya respected Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. What incredible humility. He was one of the chief scholars of Shankaracharya's Mayavad sannyas, or Mayavad philosophy. But yet the Lord honored him because he was senior. But that respect melted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's heart. He said, "You're only 24 years old. You're young. Every limb of your golden body is so beautiful. How will you ever maintain your celibacy? Very difficult in this age of Kali Yuga. And especially when a person takes sannyas, it's so dangerous. Because when a person takes sannyas, people respect them, people honor them, people bow down to them, and the sannyasi thinks, now I have become Narayan. The prestige, the respect that's given to a sannyasi creates an atmosphere where the sannyasi thinks he's the enjoyer. Therefore, unless you're completely beyond the bodily concept of life through the process of jnana, you'll never maintain your vows. Thus, I want to train you up by teaching you the proper understanding of Vedanta Sutra." Lord Chaitanya, so humble. "Yes, please. This will be a great favor to me." They sat in Jagannath's temple. Day after day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was speaking, and Lord Chaitanya was very politely sitting, listening. Finally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "I've given you such incredible knowledge, but you haven't asked any questions as of yet. I do not know whether you understand or don't understand. Please tell me." The Lord said, "I understand. Vedanta Sutra is like the brilliant sun written by Vedavyas. However, your speculative, imaginative, speculational explanations are like a dark cloud that completely obscure the real meaning of Vedanta Sutra to be understood." Huh? Sannyasis were coming from all over the world to study Vedanta Sutra under Sarvabhauma. He was an elderly man, and here's this young 24-year-old boy telling him like this. He says, "If you have a better explanation, tell me." Lord Chaitanya told him that Vyasadeva wrote his own commentary of Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he explained Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy, and especially the Atmarama verse. Upon hearing this, every single thing that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke was totally annihilated. He understood the only person who could have this intelligence is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. And he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the Jagannath temple his divine forearm form of Narayan, his form of Krishna, and his divine Sadbuja form. Next day, Lord Chaitanya decided to bring Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Jagannath's Mahaprasad. "In the house you'll go to today," Lord Chaitanya knocked on the door. It was early morning. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just woke up. Instead of saying a humdramasli, he said, "Krishna, Krishna." Lord Chaitanya was very pleased upon hearing this. Then he came in and said, "I brought you Jagannath's prasad." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately ate it. Lord Chaitanya said, "You are a Brahmin. How can you eat prasad without washing your mouth or brushing your teeth or taking your bath?" Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered prayers that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's prasad, comes, anytime it comes, even if it's stale from a distant place, one should honor it immediately, understanding it's the mercy of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya became ecstatic. He said, "Today my mission of descending to this world is a success. because a hard-hearted logician like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has understood the glories of Krishna's prasad. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Another day in that house, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya that there's a verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tateno kampam susvamikshamano punjane evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapurvir vidate maste jivetam mukti sade padayava. This mukti sadayava, I don't like it. I have changed it to bhakti. Because ever since I have received your mercy, the word mukti makes me disgusted. Bhakti is millions, billions, inconceivably unlimited times greater than mukti. Lord Chaitanya explained that you cannot change the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, the perfection of mukti is bhakti. So you should leave the word as it is. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I will leave it on your order, but still I don't like it. In the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to the world that mukti is worse than going to hell for a devotee. Because without the consciousness of our individuality, there is no question of loving service for the pleasure of the Lord. Rupa Goswami said, compared to the unlimited ocean of happiness that is derived through bhakti, impersonal liberation or mukti does not even contain the happiness of a fraction of a particle of one single drop. Yesterday we walked by the Chatak Parvat, a very important place in Jagannath Puri. One day, Lord Chaitanya decided to take his bath in the sea, along with his devotees, when he saw a mountain of sand called Chatak Parvat. Lord Gaurasundar immediately remembered Govardhan Hill. In fact, he was seeing Giriraj Govardhan in that sand dune. He ran fast as the wind. The devotees were very worried. Govinda, Kashishwar, his servants started chasing after him at top speed. Soon, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, Gadadhar Pandit, Nandai, Ramai, they were all chasing fast as they can. But Lord Chaitanya was going swifter than the wind. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, they were very elderly sannyasis. When they saw the Lord running, they became so concerned. They were running as fast as they could. And one Bhagavan Acharya, who was actually physically crippled, when he saw the Lord running, he started trying to run as fast as he could. What a scene. Everyone is chasing the Lord on the same sand of the beach that we were yesterday. All of a sudden, Lord Chaitanya, in his ecstasies of remembering Giriraj Govardhan, he stopped like he was paralyzed in the middle of his running, motionless, unlimited tears like the ocean itself were falling from his eyes. Every one of his pores expanded blood and perspiration started pouring out of them. His body became white as a conch shell. From his mouth, there was just gurgling sounds, long, long, long. And his entire body was trembling like the waves of the ocean. Then he fell down. The devotees caught up to him and they saw him in this condition. Loudly began to chant the holy name. Mahaprabhu came to semi-external consciousness. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains there were three prominent states of consciousness Lord Chaitanya would enter into. One was external consciousness, where he was completely immersed and enwrapped in separation from Krishna. But somehow or other, he was able to communicate with the people around him and live according to all the proper principles of Vaishnava etiquette. And then there was his internal consciousness, Mahaprabhu came to semi-external consciousness. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains there were three prominent states of consciousness Lord Chaitanya would enter into. One was external consciousness, where he was completely immersed and enwrapped in separation from Krishna. But somehow or other, he was able to communicate with the people around him and live according to all the proper principles of Vaishnava etiquette. And then there was his internal consciousness, where all conception of the world around him would completely disappear, and he would enter totally into his meditations in his heart, at which time he would go into ecstatic symptoms that his body expressed that has never been seen in the entire creation before. At that time, he was totally unaware of anything in this world. He was simply immersed in Vrindavan, Smarana. And when the devotees would loudly chant the holy names, he would enter in a state called half-external consciousness, where he would see the people around him, but he wouldn't know where he was or why he was there. He would just begin to talk and explain exactly what was his meditation within his heart. So on this occasion, he said, "Where am I? Why have you brought me here? I was in Vrindavan. Why have you taken me away from that place and brought me here? I decided to go see Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys playing on Govardhan Hill. There I was at Govardhan Hill. Krishna stood in his threefold bending form and played upon his flute to call Srimati Radharani. Radharani came to meet him. Radha and Gopinath entered into one of the beautiful secluded caves of Govardhan Hill. And one of the gopis came to me and said, 'Please go pick some flowers for we could decorate Radha and Krishna.' I was picking the flowers, meditating on this Leela, and all of a sudden I heard this loud sound.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Why have you brought me here? The devotees explained, you saw a sand dune. You thought it was Govardhan Hill. You started running toward it like the wind, chanting a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by the gopis. That of all the devotees, Govardhan is Haridas Varya, the best devotee of Krishna. Because Govardhan is providing Krishna, gopas and gopis, the calves, the cows, all nice services, fresh grass, crystal clear waters, cool, soothing caves. In this way, Govardhan knows how to please Krishna and his devotees best. And then you fell unconscious. And look at your body, what symptoms it created. This Chatak Parvat was revealed. It was revealed by Lord Chaitanya that it is none different than Govardhan Hill. In the meditation of the Lord, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally built his Purushottam Gaudiya Math on Chatak Parvat. And all of you, please, if I ever end this lecture, then you please go to Chatak Parvat, meditate on the mercy of the Lord. Not far from Chatak Parvat is the temple of Yameshwar Mahadev. Yesterday, Madhavananda Prabhu gave us a very nice explanation of that place. It's sunk way, way down in the ground because it is so very ancient. According to the Skanda Purana, Yamaraj came to Purushottam Kshetra because he witnessed that an insignificant, simple little crow happened to touch the waters from the Rohini Kund and took a forearm form of Narayana and went back to Godhead. So this very much disturbed Yamaraj. He came to Nila Madhava and Lakshmi Devi and said that, my lord, this Rohini Kund, it's so powerful that if it can purify the sins of a crow, then what service am I going to have for you? Everyone's going to get liberated. At that time, Narayan told Lakshmi to speak. Lakshmi said to Yamaraj, you have a right to punish the sinners throughout the world, but you have no right to punish anyone here at Sri Purushottam Kshetra. Anyone who worships the deity of Leela Madhava with devotion, they are immune from your authority. Then she began to explain the glories of Purushottam Kshetra. She told Yamaraj, and Brahma happened to be there too, about Markandeya Rishi. We told that story the other day. After being for 7 kalpas in the ocean, in this world, he got this benediction. After the pralaya, he saw Purushottam Kshetra. There, that little baby on the leaf sucked him in his mouth and spit him out again. and told him that this is my supreme abode, holiest of all places. You should remain here. The place where Markandeya Rishi remained is called Markandeya Sarovar. And the deity of Lord Shiva that he worshipped after having the darshan of Shiva is called Markandeshwar. After hearing all these narrations of the glories of Purushottam Kshetra, Yamaraj himself worshipped Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee of Krishna. And the lingam that he worshipped is called Yameshwar Mahadev. And it is said that anyone who sincerely worships that deity will never see the wrath of Yamaraj. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki. Near the Yameshwar Mahadev temple is Tota Gopinath. Tota means garden. Gadadhar Pandit discovered this deity in a nearby garden of the Yameshwar Mahadev area. And with the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he worshipped that deity. With such love and devotion, according to our acharyas, Gadadhar Pandit is Vrindavan Eshwari Srimati Radharani. The relationship between Gadadhar Pandit and Gopinath is the loving affairs of Radha Gopinath. Gadadhar Pandit loved that deity with such pure devotion that he took a vow of Kshetra Sannyas. Just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took Kshetra Sannyas due to his love for Lord Jagannath, Gadadhar Pandit took due to his love for Gopinath, which means you never leave the holy dham in which the deity is residing. There's a beautiful story that is very instructive. When Lord Chaitanya decided to go to Vrindavan, during his first attempt, all the devotees went with him. They couldn't live without him. In fact, Maharaj Pratap Purudra took the entire wealth of the state treasury to accommodate for Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. Because to go to Vrindavan, you have to travel through many, many miles of Orissa. He arranged boats to be built for all the devotees to cross over each river, and the royal king's boat for Lord Chaitanya. He arranged surplus of grains and cooks to make feast for the devotees three times a day as they were traveling. He erected residential quarters here, there, and everywhere for the devotees to stay. Because he understood that if you want to please the Lord, you must please his devotees. Wherever Lord Chaitanya walked, devotees would take the dust that his feet had just touched. In this way, practically the whole road was full of holes. When the Lord saw Gadadhar Pandit was coming, he said, "You cannot come to Vrindavan with me. You have taken vow of Kshetra Sannyas. You must stay in Puri. It's your vow." Gadadhar Pandit said, "To hell with my Kshetra Sannyas." Lord Chaitanya said, but your deity of Gopinath is here. You have to serve him." Gadadhar Pandit replied, "By seeing you, my Lord, I get the credit of worshipping Gopinath hundreds and millions of times. Besides that, I'm not going to Vrindavan with you. I just happened to be going to Bengal to see Sachi Mata, and you just happened to be going at the same time in that direction. So Gadadhar Pandit was a little distance away, just so he could see Lord Chaitanya at every step. When Lord Chaitanya got to the Mahanadi River, which is actually the border of Purushottam Kshetra, Gadadhar Pandit was not to cross that river. Lord Chaitanya called for Gadadhar Pandit. He came. He said, "Now you are a success. You disobeyed me. However, I give you this order. You go back to Puri. You worship Gopinath. You do not come any further with me, and that is the last thing I say to you." Then the boat left with Lord Chaitanya. Gadadhar Pandit fell to the ground unconscious in separation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya woke him up and said, "Actually, the Lord loves you so much. Just like Krishna. Krishna broke his own promise to maintain the promise of Bhishma. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, in his heart of hearts, he is suffering terribly due to separation from you. But just to protect your honor and dignity, he is willing to endure that pain. How fortunate you are." So Gadadhar Pandit came back to Toto Gopinath temple. Lord Chaitanya went to Vidyanagar, then Kuliagram in Navadvip, where he delivered so many offenders. Then he went to Ramkeli, where he met Rupan Sanatan Goswami and Jiva Goswami. The little child was looking from a distance. There, Sanatan Goswami said, "You shouldn't go to Vrindavan with millions and millions and millions of people. You should go and experience the peace and the quiet of Vrindavan. Just go yourself or with one or two others." So the next day, Lord Chaitanya came to Kanai Natashala, and he saw all these millions of people around him. Maybe something like this yatra. There were just so much noise and so much confusion, and he was thinking, "Sanatan Goswami is correct. I will go to Vrindavan alone." So he turned around and said, "We will go back to Jagannath Puri." They returned. When he crossed the Mahanadi River, the devotees, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, and others were there to greet the Lord. There the Lord revealed a very essential lesson for all of us. Please listen carefully. He said that I wanted to go to Vrindavan, but Krishna would not permit me to go because I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. Unless I receive the heartfelt blessings of Gadadhar Pandit, Krishna will never let me enter into Vrindavan. If we hurt the heart of Krishna's devotees, whoever we are, Krishna will not give us entrance into Vrindavan. Without the sincere blessings of the Vaishnavas, no endeavor can possibly be successful in pleasing Krishna. On many occasions, Lord Chaitanya would not pursue his desires or even his very mission without the heartfelt blessings of his devotees. When Gadadhar Pandit heard this, he cried. He said, "You are the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can go anywhere and everywhere you want. But just to teach the world, you are speaking in this way. If it is your desire, if it makes you happy, my Lord, I give my heartfelt blessings that you go to Vrindavan. But first you come to my house and let me cook prasad for you." And then there's so many nice festivals coming up in Puri after that. When he received the blessings of Gadadhar Pandit, Lord Chaitanya successfully traveled to Vrindavan Dham. One day, Gadadhar Pandit was cooking in his house, and Nityananda Prabhu came with some special quality rice from Bengal and nice vegetables. He also, Nityananda Prabhu, had some opulent cloth that he personally put on the deity of Gopinath. He said, "Offer this to Gopinath." So Gadadhar Pandit began to cook. "You cooked it? Gopinath ate it? And I have come for the remnants." As Gadadhar Pandit was taking prasad with Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya, and Gormitai were personally describing the anyone who eats, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit. When he would describe the story of Prahlad or Dhruva Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya would say, "Speak it again." He would hear each story 100 times minimum before going on to the next. That was his taste for the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes, because we're such grossly conditioned neophytes, we're always looking for something new. Just like this story I'm telling you. Probably we're thinking, "I already heard this so many times, at least 6 times before in my life I heard this story." But if we're actually tasting the sweetness of Srimad Bhagavatam, every time you hear it, you get more thirsty for the nectar of hearing it again. What to speak of the 10th canto. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear the stories of Prahlad and Dhruva 100s of times in a row, just to teach the world that the stories describing the pastimes as well as the teachings of Krishna are immortal nectar. We have all seen Srila Prabhupada when he preaches. The simplest verses from Bhagavad Gita, he speaks as if he's glorifying the lotus feet of Sri Radha Shamsundar. With such enthusiasm, with such courage, with such ras. Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yuvanam jada tata dehantara praptir diras tatra damuyate. The embodied soul is passing from boyhood to youth to old age. Similarly, the soul accepts another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. The most fundamental teaching of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada would speak with such ecstasy and such enthusiasm year after year after year. And some of us are thinking, "I already know that verse. I learned that verse when I was in first week I was a devotee." But Srila Prabhupada is teaching what is ras. The same mouth that's playing the flute to attract Radharani and the gopis is speaking that verse. Hare Krishna, what nectar. Prabhupada's realization was sublime. One time in Delhi, there is the temple of Parthasarathi, Radha Parthasarathi. So people were criticizing, Radharani is not with Parthasarathi. Parthasarathi is a chariot driver for Arjuna, and Kurukshetra was a Mahabharat war where millions of people are just blood flowing like rivers all over the place. That's not Braja Leela. Radharani never leaves Vrindavan. So this is not correct. How can Radha Parthasarathi? But Srila Prabhupada named that temple in ecstasy. Somebody asked him, how is this possible? Radha Parthasarathi. Prabhupada said, you don't think that wherever Krishna is, whether he's in Dwarka, whether he's in Kurukshetra, whether he's driving chariot from Arjuna, you don't think he's constantly meditating on the love of Srimati Radharani? He's always with Radharani. What an incredible, sublime realization. It's the ultimate. So Srila Prabhupada could speak the basic teachings of Bhagavad Gita in ecstasy because he knows he's bringing people back to Goloka Vrindavan through the process on behalf of Krishna, speaking the words of Krishna, inducing everyone to chant the holy name. During a beautiful kirtan at the Tota Gopinath temple, Lord Chaitanya, who was then in his 48th year of age in this world, closed the doors of the altar, and personally his body entered into the form of Tota Gopinath. When the devotees opened the doors, Mahaprabhu was gone. All that was left was his garland. Madhavananda Prabhu told me yesterday that in the temple room, on the far wall opposite from Lord Sri Balaramji's murti, who's with Revati and Varuni, there's a small shrine on the floor with footprints. And it is said that that is the Pushpa Samadhi of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The garland that he left behind was put under there. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, many of the devotees could not bear to live. Raghunath Das Goswami, he saw that Swarup Damodar Goswami, practically immediately after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, disappeared due to the pangs of separation. So he went to Vrindavan with the idea of jumping from Govardhan Hill to end his life. Meanwhile, Gadadhar Pandit, in a matter of days, seemed to be aging years. He became so weak, constantly immersed in separation from the Lord, weeping incessantly, that when he tried to place the garland around the net of Tota Gopinath, he was trembling, struggling, trying to lift the garland up. But Gopinath, always eager to pleasingly accept the service of his devotee, he sat down in a cross-legged position just to make it easy for Gadadhar Pandit to worship him. And to this day, Tota Gopinath is in the sitting position playing his flute, showing his unlimited love for Sri Radharani in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Srinivasacharya came to Tota Gopinath temple. Gadadhar Pandit personally, on the order of Lord Chaitanya, taught him Srimad Bhagavatam for some days. When Lord Chaitanya first returned from his tour of South India, King Prataparudra personally arranged for Lord Chaitanya to stay in the house of Kashi Mishra. He said it's a secluded place, it's very quiet, and still it's close to the Jagannath temple. He will be very happy there. Lord Chaitanya told, or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took Lord Chaitanya to Kashi Mishra's home. Kashi Mishra surrendered his life at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya there manifested his forearm form, holding the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower to Kashi Mishra. Then Kashi Mishra gave him a small room called Gambira. Last time we came to Puri for a yatra, we spoke in Gambira for approximately 5 hours, just barely scraping the surface of the incredible pastimes that the Lord performed there. It was in the Gambira that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would meet his devotees when they would come from Bengal. He would greet them from there and say goodbye to them from there. The most beautiful exchanges of love are contained in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita describing these incidents. That was Gambira. During the last 12 years of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, practically day and night, he was immersed in his internal feelings of separation. It was in the Gambira that Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai were his constant associates, singing beautiful prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita Govinda, Krishna Karnamrita, the poems of Chandidas and Vidyapati. Lord Chaitanya would go to the Jagannath temple every day. One day, he took a short afternoon rest in Gambira, and he happened to see Krishna in his dream playing his flute, calling the gopis for the Ras Leela. Then Govinda woke him up at the scheduled time. They went to Jagannath's temple. Lord Chaitanya, when he saw Jagannath, he saw that same form of Trivanga Krishna playing on his flute. Just at that moment, that elderly Orissan lady who was so eager to see Jagannath climbed on his body to see over the thousands and thousands of people that were in the temple. Due to the lady stepping on Lord Chaitanya and Govinda taking her off, Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness. And there he saw not Krishna playing his flute, but he saw Jagannath with Baladev and Subhadra. And he was thinking, here I am in Kurukshetra. I was in Vrindavan. Why have I come to Kurukshetra? In the pangs of separation, he went back to Gambira. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai were singing prayers and kirtans for the pleasure of the Lord Then it was time for the Lord to rest. Late at night, Swarup Damodar Goswami took rest just outside of Lord Chaitanya's room, the Gambira. Lord Chaitanya was making all kinds of sounds of love and separation. When Swarup Damodar heard, it was totally silent. He entered the room, and although all the three doors were closed and locked, the Lord was gone. They went roaming everywhere with lanterns in the middle of the night trying to find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They thought maybe he has disappeared from the world. Finally, they found him just north of the Singhadwaram. He was laying there. Each of his limbs were disjointed, elongated by several inches of just flesh between. There was blood and perspiration flowing from all of his pores. His complexion was whitish. There were tears flowing from his eyes. There was foam flowing from his mouth. His hairs were standing up like kadamba flowers. His hair was in disarray. In fact, he was practically indistinguishable. At which the time the devotees loudly sang the kirtan of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya came to his external consciousness and revealed how he was in Vrindavan, assisting the Raslila dance of Sri Radha and Krishna. So because these things were happening regularly, the devotees, to serve the Lord, decided that the brother of Damodar Pandit, of the name Shankar Pandit, should stay with the Lord day and night. The Lord, in his ecstasy, sometimes when he didn't escape from Gambira, he would rub his face on the walls. These are not ordinary experiences. These are the highest manifestations of the love of the internal potency of the Lord. So the devotees had Shankar Pandit massage Lord Chaitanya's feet all night, every night. Sometimes Shankar Pandit would fall asleep, and Lord Chaitanya would take his own blanket and put it on Shankar Pandit. And he would wake up very embarrassed and put the blanket again on the Lord and massage his feet. Lord Chaitanya, respecting and honoring the love of his devotee, remained always in his care. Therefore, Shankar Pandit became known as the pillow of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. It was in Gambira that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also ate an entire room full of Mahaprasad that was being stored by Govinda. Gambira represents for Gaudiya Vaishnavas the eternal residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he actually revealed the highest revelations of his mission. And therefore, when we go to Gambira with great respect, we should honor that place and offer our most heartfelt prayers for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. These are a few of the very prominent holy places of Jagannath Puri. What is the time?
1:30.
Acha. Tonight at around 6, I believe it's around 6, Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra will be brought to the Gundicha Mandir. And that's a beautiful ceremony. Everyone, please come to attend it. It's truly an incredible darshan of Lord Jagannath. Until then, you can have prasad and you can go to visit all of these different holy places to offer your prayers and obeisances. Thank you very much. We would like to ask Dinabandhu Prabhu to speak some inspirational words to all of us.
See, I'm an offender. As soon as I came, everyone runs away. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Yananangana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapanandigam Adadanastranandantai Vidamyache Punapuna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janmajantani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Jagannatha, Dina Bandhu Namostubhyam, Nistirnoham Bhavam Bodhim, Prapyatvam Taranim Shukam. Jaya Jaya Jagannatha Dina Bandhu Namostucham. I am offering my respects to Lord Jagannath, who's Dina Bandhu. Jaya Jaya, I've learned all the nice prayers of Dina Bandhu. Jaya Jaya Jagannatha Dina Bandhu Namostumyam Nistirnoham Bhavam Bodhim. You take us across that ocean of material existence, nistirnoham bhavam bodhim, or prapyatvam taranim shukam. And achieving you, we get waves and waves of bliss. Jaya Jaya Jagannatha Dina Bandhu Namostubhyam Nistirnoham Bhavam Bodhim Prapyatvam Taranim Shukam. So Radhanath Maharaj says, relished an incredible feast of Krishna Katha, Jagannath Katha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Katha, Chaitanya's devotees Katha. So, incredible feast is there, just a few little crumbs. I can offer my obeisance to those crumbs, and just smelling their fragrance speaks something about the fragrance of those crumbs. So, first thing I was remembering, Maharaj explained that it was here in Jagannath Puri that Rupa Goswami was established as the, what do you say, the guru of all of us, guru for the whole world of Krishna consciousness. So this is very interesting because twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita, twice Mahaprabhu establishes this point. Twice he establishes this point. One time during the Rath Yatra festival, when we were in Jagannath Ballab Garden, Maharaj gave a nice explanation of how Mahaprabhu was chanting some verse in front of the cart. He said, it was just like a young boy and a young girl, some exchange. The young girl is talking about a young boy. Nobody could understand what Mahaprabhu was saying. He's talking something about a young boy and a young girl, just in the mood of some young girl meeting a young boy. And Rupa Goswami, hearing those words, he wrote a beautiful verse. That I am the same Radha, you are the same Krishna. We're meeting again after a long time. But seeing you here as a great prince, I'm not happy. I wish to take you back to the Jamuna, where the fragrant breeze filled with the fragrance of Ketaki flowers and Kadamba flowers. I want to take you back to that place. So he wrote this verse, he put it in his thatched, he wrote it in a palm leaf, he stuck it in his thatch and went off to take his bath. Mahaprabhu came there with Swarup Damodar, and it's described that Rupa Goswami's writing was just like strings of pearls. His writing was so beautiful, just like strings of pearls. So naturally, this little palm leaf was stuck in the thatch there with some writing just like strings of pearls were there. But I don't know if the Raghunandan library has, where's our Madhavanand? Do they have any writings of Rupa Goswami there? But in the Vrindavan Research Institute, Vrindavan Shodh Sanstha, you can go and see. They have on exhibition there the writing on palm leaf of Rupa Goswami. So beautiful. So Mahaprabhu immediately pulled that palm leaf. He read this verse. At that point, Rupa Goswami returned from his bath and Mahaprabhu turned to Swarup Damodar. He says, how has Rupa Goswami understood my heart? How has he understood my heart? And Swarup Damodar, with folded hands, he says, unless you have given your full mercy to him, it's not possible. Therefore I can understand you have given your full mercy to him. And Mahaprabhu says, yes, I met Rupa Goswami at Dasashwamedh Ghat, and seeing him a fit personality, I have showered my entire mercy upon him. I have showered my entire mercy upon him. By his own mouth. Not once, twice, another time he was writing. Maharaj also explained. Rupa Goswami was writing this beautiful play. Later it turned into two plays. Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita. By his own mouth. Not once, twice, another time he was writing. Maharaj also explained. Rupa Goswami was writing this beautiful play. Later it turned into two plays. Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. And Mahaprabhu came to read with Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai. Mahaprabhu took Mahaprabhu took he wanted to see what is Rupa Goswami. He was reading it. He showed it to Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy began to read. He said, this is not a play, this is a shower of nectar. He said, without being blessed by the Lord, nobody can write like this. Therefore I can understand that he has received your mercy. And Mahaprabhu, second time, he says, yes, same thing. I met Rupa Goswami at Dasashwamedh Ghat in Prayag, and seeing him a fit person, I have showered my entire mercy upon him. So Rupa Goswami is the, for understanding, he's the Ras Acharya. For understanding Ras, he is the Acharya. Mahaprabhu showered his total mercy upon him. Twice he has said, by his own mouth he said. And Prabhupada has blessed us. He has said, we are all Rupa Anugas. We are all the followers of Rupa Goswami. And why Rupa Goswami? So many great personalities were there. Ramananda, Rai Ramananda was there. Swarup Damodar, so many. Why Rupa Goswami? So Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur, he has explained that this Rupa Goswami, he's none other than Rupa Manjari. Only the Manjaris, they're able to enter into the very confidential pastimes of Lord. Other people, someone may be Vishaka, somebody may be Lalita, some may be like this. There are some sort of equal, some may be superior. Like that, in front of equals and superiors, we don't necessarily reveal the most confidential things, but Rupa Goswami is none other than Rupa Manjari. The very, very dear servant of Radha and Krishna in their most confidential pastimes. So in front of equals, we may not reveal so many confidential things, but to those who are younger, then we reveal so many confidential things. Therefore we pray. What were we just praying? Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam. Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam. What was the heart of Chaitanya? Mano, sometimes in English, because we don't have any proper language for dealing with transcendental subject matters, we call it mind, but man really means the heart. Heart is where we experience everything. Because we're all technologists in this Kali Yuga, we think somewhere our mind is somewhere between these two ears, behind these eyes, because we have to see everything. We want to see everything. We don't go to Jagannath Puri, we just watch on the TV. Luckily, if we're lucky, we're watching on the TV. Otherwise, we're just watching some nonsense thing on the TV. We just see, we think we're somewhere here. But actually, if you think, man must be in the heart. If I call you a nonsense, do you feel anger here? You feel in the heart. If Maharaj gives you nice, merciful glance, do you feel happy between the two ears? No, you feel in the heart. So man means heart. So what is heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam. Abhist means the cherished desire. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam. Rupa Goswami has established that in this world. Stapitam Jena Bhu Tale. Bhu means this earth and Tale means the surface. He is established on the surface of this earth. What was the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabha. What I'm offering is that Rupa Goswami. Just like we see this Manjari is very fragrant. He's Rupa Manjari. Manjari is very fragrant. In fact, the most fragrant part of the Tosi plant. We put, when it says to take Tosi leaf, if I've studied in Vrindavan, all the Vaishnavas, and they never pick, unless there's no manjari, they never pick just the leaf. They will take, where there's a manjari, little bud coming out, and two leaves, just underneath those two leaves, they will pinch, not with the fingernail. They have expert how to pinch. Somehow, Westerners, we don't know how, but anyway, somehow they just pinch like that, and they get. This is what they offer with that manjari, and that manjari you put in Lord's water becomes so fragrant. So like this, Rupa Goswami is, otherwise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Maharaj is explaining, in this Gambhira for 12 years, he was shut up relishing all these things by himself. But Rupa Goswami is that Rupa Manjari, that who is giving that fragrance to the whole world. delivering that fragrance to the whole world. So this is Rupa Goswami, and this is the two incidents where Mahaprabhu established him as the Rasacharya for the universe. Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadanti. Another beautiful verse. Adadanas Trinandantai. Trin we know. Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishna Manina Manadin Kirta. Trin means this grass. Not grass. Grass, you see, he only makes imitation of humility. As soon as you walk on the grass, what does he do? He goes down. And when you take your foot away after a little time, boop. He just makes imitation, just like we're always making some imitation, falling at the feet of the Vaishnava, just imitating. But immediately, boop, our ego comes up again. But Trin means that straw, he's lying, sastang, pranam, he's making on the street, he never stands up. That is Trin. That straw on the street. So, adadanas trin, I'm taking some trin, some dry straw between my teeth. Dant. Adadanas trin dantai. Between my teeth I'm taking. This is, Prabhupada said, this is shine of humility. You take some dry straw between your feet and approach, between your teeth and approach someone. That means you're giving humble. Adadanas trin dantai. Ridam yache puna puna. Yachna. Yachna means to beg. So yachna puna puna. Huh? I want to go to the Puna Iskan. No. Rhythm yachna puna puna. By my heart, I am begging again and again. Puna puna again and again, again and again. Huh? I have got some debt. Somehow I want to fulfill rhythm. Some debt is there. To this Rupa Goswami. Adanas Chinanda Dairidam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Duli Sham Janma Janmani Ambuja. Because just here we were swimming, enjoying pastimes. Ambu, the ocean. Ambu means ocean. Also means water, another name for water. So Ambuja, who's born from the water, is the Ambuja, Janvastavi, Jana. Ambuja means the lotus flower. So those Buj here is referring to the lotus feet. It can mean any limb, but here is specifically referring to the Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo. Ambuja, those lotus feet, Pada Ambuja. Those lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. Not the lotus feet. He said, what does he want? Duli. Srimad Rupa Padam Bhuja Duli. I just want that dust of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. What is it? Srimad Rupa Padam Bhuja Duli Syam Janma Janmani. Let be, I just want that in my life after life after life after life. Give me the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada's dear grandmother, Akinchana Krishnadas, used to always chant this verse. Adadanas Trinandantai Ridam Yache Puna Puna Srima Rupa Padam Bhujo Duli Syam Janma Janma. So I was thinking, another point, we were at Sarvabhauma's house. One other very interesting thing, because there you will see the original Shalagram Shilas of Sarvabhauma there. And also there's one very interesting deity of Rasik Raj is there. Because what happened one time, there was one king of Orissa, he had a princess. Madhavananda, what was her name? Do you know? What was Ganga? Anyway, she was daughter of the king, so she was princess, used to very royal life. We understand the king must be enjoying very royal, luxurious, soft life. But somehow she became influenced by the devotees, and she just took off all of her jewelry, all of her silk cloth, all of her opulence, and she ran away to Vrindavan to become a devotee. Also trying to remember who became her guru. But anyway, she went there to Vrindavan and fell at the feet of...
Sachi.
Hmm?
Sachi.
Sachi. Her name was Sachi.
Guru was Haridas Pandit.
Haridas Pandit, who was? I think coming down from Srinivas, no? Something like that. Coming down from Srinivas, Haridas Pandit was there. So he understood who she was. He said, no, no, you're a princess. You're just making some show for some time. It's like sometimes, this is our, Prabhupada explains, this is our mood, bhoga tyaga. Sometimes we enjoy, then we become frustrated, we give it all up. And then after a while, we become frustrated with our tyaga, and again we go enjoy. So they suggest you're making some show for some days. You will again, how you tolerate this life in Braj is very difficult. It is not like nowadays, there's nice, you know, MBT guest house to stay and MBT restaurant and everywhere nice bottled water is there for you to drink and so many nice, all types of facilities. Nothing was there. No Loi Bazaar was there even. You imagine Vrindavan that no Loi Bazaar was there. He said, you'll not stay here. So she just wore simple white cloth and she used to go with her cloth begging Madhukari. Now she must have been a very beautiful, she was princess, she must have been very beautiful. So going, it's very dangerous to stay alone in Vrindavan begging Madhukari like this. She was doing like this. For 1 year, Haridas Pandit, he watched this. He noticed, she's just living so austerely like this. So finally he initiated her and gave her the name? No, that was later. Anyway, he gave her some very beautiful name. And then Haridas Pandit got the news that in Puri, the pujari, either he left his body, or somehow he left. No one was there in Sarvabhauma's house to do the puja. And knowing that she knew Uriya language, and she said, and he was thinking, it's very important that we preach. Just like we see in Vrindavan, Gaudiya Sampradaya has been there for 500 years. Nobody in the Brijavas, they had no idea who's Lord Chaitanya. Maybe some devotee. Maybe he was preaching Dvaitavad. Nobody was preaching. Only the Bengali Vaishnavas came. They're just pretending to be gopi in their meditation and nobody's preaching. Even after 500 years, nobody knows. Even learned people don't know. You'll find in Vrindavan. Respectables, they have no idea who's Lord Chaitanya. Only since Prabhupada is preaching, people are beginning to understand who is Lord Chaitanya. Are everybody just sleeping? So, he also wondered, he thought she knows Uriya language, she can preach very nicely there to the local people, they can understand something about Lord Chaitanya's mission. So he said, you must go there and take over the worship in Sarvabhauma's house. What was the worship? Shalagram Shila. Now any smarter Brahma can tell you, a lady cannot worship Shalagram Shila. But since she was Vaishnavi, she's beyond all these ordinary rules and regulations. So she was in Sarvabhauma's house, as Maharaj was explaining. He was the greatest authority, greatest scholar of the whole of India. Everyone was coming in his house. Woman was worshipping the Shalagram Shila. And she began to preach every evening Bhagavatam and hundreds of people. She spoke so nicely. Hundreds of people used to come and listen to her preachings. A huge following became there. Even Haridas Pandit was very smart, intelligent. He sent the right person. She was preaching. Everyone was understanding who was Lord Chaitanya, what was Lord Chaitanya's mission, what was Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So one day, there was some family deity in Vrindavan named Rasik Raj or Rasik Rai. And gradually after so many generations, just like we see, just like in our Gurukul in Vrindavan we see, you know, they come to put their children in the Gurukul. And you see the picture of the grandfather, you know, a nice white khadi dhoti and nice kurta, and very, you know, with a japa mala in his hand like that. Then we see the picture of the father, you know, he's got a nice safari suit. And we see the the child is there and he's got his, you know, some funny t-shirt, you know. Some funny brand name crossed across his t-shirt, you know, like this. So sometimes the generations, they go down, down, down like that. So after a while, the family even forgot to send the yearly maintenance for the deity. So this poor pujari is there, he had no money, he's maintaining his deity, nobody's sending any money, what to do. The deity told him, you take me to Puri, to Sarvabhauma's house, and give me there to that lady who's preaching there. So he came there, he explained to her the situation, and she said, I'm just serving here at Shalagram, just some tulsi and water, I'm just a sadhvi, I have no money, I have nothing, how I'll take care of, you'll require so many things, how will I take care? He said, no, you must take. He said, no. So anyway, she refused. So he just left the deity there in the garden. So next day she was picking the tulsi and the flowers for her worship, and something stuck on her sari, so she just pulled it like that. And again she was picking, again something stuck on her sari. And again she was picking, and something, and she pulled and it didn't come. And she pulled and it didn't come. She looked. And Rasik Rai was there holding her sari under the tulsi tree. Well, then she understood, oh, then he wants to come. So then she established this deity there. So then you'll notice in front of Sarvabhauma's house is Sweta Ganga. Very big tank is there, very important place. So it was Kumbh Mela, just like many of you came to Kumbh Mela. Huh? So it was Kumbh Mela, she was also thinking, I should also go. He said, but my guru has not given me any order to come, how can I go? I'm here, no one else is to take care of the mutt. My guru is, I don't have guru's order, what should I do? Then she was thinking, anyway, Sweta Ganga is here in front. So at the auspicious hour, I will take my bath there and meditate on my guru, and being in the presence of all the Vaishnavas. So sometime very past the midnight even was the auspicious hour. So she went in the Sweta Ganga and she began to take her bath and meditating on her guru and all the Vaishnavas. Suddenly some dhara, some current came. And that current carried her across the Sweta Ganga. Suddenly the steps on the other side opened up and she went through like a tunnel. And next thing she knew, she found herself inside Jagannath temple. And Ganga was flowing there inside the temple. And her guru and all the Vaishnavas were there having wonderful Harinam. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare! So she was just dancing and singing with all the Vaishnavas. And everyone was having a wonderful time bathing in Ganga in the middle of Jagannath temple. Because that was between 12 and 3, it is closed. So the guards, they heard some noise. They went to the king, some noise. He said, open up and see what's going on. So the guards came back, they opened the door, nothing was there, just this woman was there. They thought, oh, this woman has come to steal something from Lord Jagannath. So they grabbed her, they told the king, said, yeah, throw her in jail. She's a thief. So then the king went back to sleep. In his dream, Lord Jagannath came with very angry eyes and said, what are you doing? I was having enjoying wonderful pastime with my devotee and you disturbed everything. You've thrown her in jail, you nonsense. He would just chastise him like anything. The king, he woke up, he ran to the jail himself. He opened the door himself. He fell at her feet. And later he took diksha from her and then he promised that from the king's treasury every day, whatever you need for the puja there will come every day. For that king. So she took diksha from him, from her. Many other Vaishnavas, seeing the glory, seeing the king also took diksha, many people took diksha from her. And then her Bhagavatam class increased like anything. And after that incident, then she became known as Ganga Mata Goswamini. You have seen in our Vaishnava calendar sometimes, appearance day of Ganga Mata Goswamini. So anyway, I don't want to take too much more time, but I was just thinking, listening to this ocean of nectar from Maharaj, that because there in Gambira, Swarup Damodar was there. Oh, Maharaj was describing the mercy. Over and over describing the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar, he is given the best verse. Actually, it's not even from him, it's from Kavi Karnapur, but Krishna's Kaviraj has put it in his mouth. As Maharaj explained, he became, after Mahaprabhu left, then he became Purushottam Acharya. Then when he heard that Mahaprabhu came, returned back from his Dakshin Bharat Yatra, then he immediately came, he fell at his feet, and Krishnadas Kaviraj has put this verse in his mouth when he fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, describes the nine types of mercies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nine types of mercies. Just like America, we have 31 flavors ice cream, and nine types of mercies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one very learned devotee from Gaudiya Math, he told me, if you study in the Gaudiya Patrikas, Srila Bhakti Sadan Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada was always citing this verse over and over again. It is actually written by Kaviraj, Kavi Karnapur, who is Mahamaha Pandit. So he's made it in a very nice way, because there's a certain type of ending in Sanskrit. For every type of word, you know, there's an ending for the different type of way it's being used, you know. So like Bande Krishnam, you know, instead of Krishna Krishnam, that means the objective case. So the word for mercy is daya. So also Sanskrit words, sometimes they end with daya. So every word in this verse ends with daya. Also, not meaning mercy, but just that just happens to be, he's describing by the mercy of Chaitanya. It means by. So he says, Hello Julita Kedaya, Pron Miladamodaya, Samyat Shastra Vivadaya, Chitopitan Madaya. Then, Sasvat Bhakti Vinodaya Samadaya, Madhurya Maryadaya, Sri Chaitanya Daya, Nidetavadaya, Buyara Mandu Daya. It's everything Daya. Only the last line, he says, Sri Chaitanya Daya Nidhi. You are a Daya Nidhi. You are an ocean of mercy. Sri Chaitanya Daya Nidhi Tava Daya. Let your mercy arise everywhere. And what? Why? Hello, Dulita Kedaya. Keda means sorrow. Just like we read in Rupa Goswami's Nectar Devotion, first thing that pure devotional service does, it removes all of our miseries. They become insignificant. It says he's hela. Hela means just to disrespect. Just like when something becomes insignificant, then we don't pay any attention. So all our miseries, hela, they become insignificant. Hello, Julita Kedaya, Pron Miladamodaya. And what does the next thing he said? It relieves material miseries. And Rupa Goswami said, what? Then it bestows transcendental happiness. So, Hello, Julita Kedaya, Pron Miladamodaya, Samyat Shastra Vivadaya. It's like Maharaj gave a very nice description the other day at Jagannath Vallabh Garden, Sambad. So here's Vivad. Vivad is the opposite. Vivad means argument. I'm not such a Sanskrit scholar, I don't know, but at least practically there seems to be some connection between two Sanskrit words, Vivaha and Vivad. Because after Vivaha comes Vivad. Samyat Shastra Vivadaya. Everybody's arguing, just like Gopinath, Acharya, and Sarvabhaum, they're arguing on basis of Shastra. Prabhupada makes very important point in his purport, not by sentiment were they arguing. It's like nowadays, sometimes they just because everybody elects, oh, he's the incarnation of God, then he's become incarnation of God by the election. No, on basis of Shastra. So he was just arguing back and forth and back and forth, the Maharaj so sweetly disguised, you know, that Gopinath just became so angry with you. Your heart is so hard, you'll never understand. You're just like an oil cake. He said, wait a minute, come on, I'm your relative. Why? Don't get so upset. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it destroys that samyat shastra, you just useless, dry argument. Immediately is thrown away. Samyat shastra vivadaya samadaya. No, what? Next? Samyat shastra vivadaya chitarpitonmadaya. Then our mind, before it's just in this dry argument is dry. Now our chit becomes filled with happiness. Chitarpon madaya becomes filled with happiness. Samyat shastra vivadaya chitarpi ton madaya. Sashvat bhakti vinodaya. It nourishes, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya nourishes, increases, develops. Bhakti vinod. Vinod means to nourish, to develop. Such that eternal bhakti, sashvat bhakti vinodaya. It is nourishing our eternal bhakti. Sashvat bhakti vinodaya. Samadaya, become just like English, mad. Mud. Mud means to be completely mad and transcendental bliss. Like we were hearing from Maharaj so sweetly describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental madness. Samadaya, you become completely mad. Madhurya maryadaya. Now maryada, generally this word is used for rules and regulation, but rules and regulation means like a type of limit. That you can do this, you can't do that. That is maryada, that you stay by this limit. But Chaitanya, he's taking the madhurya beyond the limits. His mercy will take, not only give you madhurya, but that madhurya beyond all the limits. Madhurya maryadaya. It will take you beyond the limits of madhurya. Madhurya is the top, it will take you beyond that. Sri Chaitanya, sashvat bhakti vinodaya samadaya. Madhurya maryadaya Sri Chaitanya daya nidetava daya bhuyara mandodaya. So when Mahaprabhu returned and Krishnas Kaviraj has put this verse in Swarup Damodar's mouth as he falls on the feet describing these nine types of mercies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the last thing I want to say, because the other person, three people were there. One was Swarup Damodar, one was Govinda, and one was Ramananda Rai. So we know Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Rai in Godavari River in South India. And there they had nice talk. Mahaprabhu asked him, what is the goal of life and how to achieve it? And Ramananda says, you are the Supreme Personality of God. I should ask this from you. He says, no, I'm just a Mayavada. I don't understand. But Sarvabhaum told you can understand, you can tell. So I'm just a puppet. Whatever you're making me say, I'm saying, that's all. So they had very nice, and he presented so many things. He said, first he said, by following the, he quoted Shastra even. He said, by following the Varnashram system, one will gradually develop love of Godhead. Mahaprabhu said, this is external thing. Go further. Something else. So he just described so many things. Even he gave our favorite verse. This verse every devotee knows, even in his sleep. If you just say, just a few words of this verse, even sleeping devotees know. Backwards they know. Forwards they know. Sideways they know. Sarvadaram Sritya Mame Kam Saranjara Ham Twam Sarva Papajo Mokshishi Mahasusha. Mahaprabhu said, no. What is this? This is our favorite verse. Mahaprabhu said, no. He said, just by giving everything up, you'll not. This is not it. So then Ramananda Roy cited one verse. What was that? Jnane prayasam mudapasya namandeva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiyavatam stane sita shruti katam tanuman vanobi ye prayaso jita jichopasitai strilokyam. It's a very nice lecture. Prabhupada explains this verse. He says, Krishna's another name is Ajit. Because Jita means to conquer. He said, no one, Prabhupada, very sweet voice, said, no one can conquer God. He's Ajita. But by this process that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is 10th canto, 14th chapter, Prayers of Lord Brahma. Just like Maharaj is also, this Tatteyenu Kampam also. So many sweet verses in this 14th chapter of 10th canto. Just nectarine verses are there. So he said, but by this process, that person who is Ajita in all the three worlds, he becomes Jita, he becomes conquered. Okay, what is that? He said, Jnane prayasam udapasya namanti. This Jnane prayas, this by trying by your limited tiny brain power to understand God, or by your fruitive activities, karma khand, Udapasya, Prabhupada says, means kick it out. Udapasya means kick it out. Kick out all this karmakanda and jnanakanda. Kick it out. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namantiva jivanti san mukaritam. San mukaritam. Now in Sanskrit, when a T comes before an M, then it turns into an N. This is called sandhi. So it is sat mukaritam. Sat muk. So sat means who's speaking satya, that is devotee. Devotee is always speaking satya. So it's sat, sat muk. The meaning is sat muk. You hear from the mouth of devotee. This is the most important thing. This is why he has kicked out this Sarvadharma. This is our favorite word, he kicked out. He says, because it says, surrender to God. Who? Krishna is saying, surrender to me. Somebody else is writing. It doesn't mean to Krishna, it means to the unborn eternal within. He's a big scholar and he's writing like this. So who? How will we know who to surrender to? If we give up, who will we surrender to? Somebody is saying, Kali is God, somebody is this one God, and that one's God. Sat mukaritam. First you have to hear from the mouth of the devotee. Then you can understand. This is why he's kicked out. First you hear. Prabhupada, in that same lecture, Prabhupada says, hearing is so important, even without following. If you just hear, you will become liberated, go back to home, back to God. This means you don't follow. The Prabhupada said, by following, of course, the more you put into practice, then the faster the realization will come. And nobody can say, anytime we can die, so better we take the fast route and follow also. But he said, even without following, if a humble man will simply come and hear the discourses from pure devotee on science of Krishna consciousness, even just that hearing, regularly hearing, he will become liberated. Satmukaritam bhavadiyavartam. About what? Bhavadiyavartam. About your. If someone just hears bhavadiyavartam. In Hindi we say bartalap, means you're just talking, so much talking, just so much prajalpa we talk. But Krishna, but Brahma says, bhavadiyavartam, about your talks. And Maharaj is so sweetly describing how Prabhupada is so, with nectar, even simple verse of Bhagavad Gita, with nectar he was describing. It was like it was relishable nectar. Because after all, these words, I also saw that one time. I was thinking, actually, this sound vibration Krishna himself has made by his own mouth. So your talks, either talks about Krishna, there's three types of talks. There's talks by Krishna, like Bhagavad Gita, about Krishna, like Srimad Bhagavatam, or about Krishna's service. Even if you're cooking in the kitchen, you say, pass the salt, please. That is also Krishna Katha, because it is for Krishna's service. So bhavadiyavartam, jivanti, he said jivanti, if you live your whole life like this, just hearing from the mouth of pure devotees. And he doesn't say, go to the forest, you give up everything, run away and go away. What does he say? Shruti gatam, first stane stita, shruti gatam, stane, just like we have Rajasthan, now this Russia has come and there's Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and so many So stan means place. So stane stita, you stay in your place. Not that you have to give up anything. Not that you take sannyas and run away or go to Himalaya, anything. No. You stay in your place. Stane stita, but shruti gatam. You hear from the mouths of the pure devotees. Then that person who is ajita, thais trilokam, throughout the three worlds, he's ajita, no one can conquer him. He becomes, Prabhupada says, very sweet voice, he becomes jita. He becomes conquered. By this simple process. The Mahaprabhu said, when he heard this, he said, yes. Yes. Now you tell more. He said, yes, this is the process. So this is the process. So Maharaj has so mercifully delivered us the process. Otherwise, we're just seeing, oh, here's, this is Brahmananda Bharatiya. We just see some stone is there. It's even broken down. What is this place? He's, now by hearing, we are anxious to run back. That's why I'm going to stop soon, so we can run back and see all those places now. Because we have heard from the mouth of the devotee. Now all those places have meaning. Now we understand who is the Supreme Lord. Now we can surrender. This is why he kicked out the Sarvadharma. Who will we surrender to? You'll give up everything and surrender to me. Who? But now we've heard from the mouth of the pure devotee, we understand the importance of all these places, we understand the importance of the science of devotional service, we understand the importance of bhakti, we understand the importance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, we understand the importance of Srila Prabhupada's mission, by hearing from the devotee. So this is the most important. Mahaprabhu said, yes, yes, now I'll go further. Jnane prayasam mudapasya namam deva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane sita shruti katam tanovan manobir ye praya so jita jitropasi thais trilokyam. So we'd like to thank Radhanath Swami for helping us to conquer that unconquerable Lord, giving us this ocean of Krishna Katha. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare. And I'd like to thank all of the wonderful devotees who come here to enliven me. I've become purified by your association, seeing all your enthusiasm and your wonderful manners and everything. I became purified, so I just want to offer my humble obeisances and all your lotus feet. Yeah.